If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome to the Football Ramble. Aubameyang and Grealish have signed a ting and Gareth Bale is about to, I think. It's Wednesday, the 16th of September. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Oh, it is good to be back, boys. It's been a while.
Welcome back, Jules.
Thank you. How have you been?
Good.
Good. How's your holiday?
Not much of a holiday.
How was your not holiday?
I planned to take a month off, and a month off ended up being about 10 days. But I'll take it because it's more than what you boys have had. You've been just going for it non-stop, giving the people what they want, your lovely voices, talking about football every single bloody day.
There we are.
How's it been?
Delightful, as always.
You don't sound sure.
It's going to get more delightful.
Well, it's nice to have the Premier League back, even though there was only around a, 40-odd day break.
Yeah.
And right now, we're going to talk a lot about contracts and about new deals, because the last 24 hours has been quite bonkers, actually. Let's start with a deal that looks as though it's about to happen. Tottenham fans, yes. Gareth Bale, the deal is close, we're being told.
Have we gone from could to should? Oh,
ooh,
that's big.
It's looking like it's very close because he was in training this morning, but only for around 20 minutes, and then he left training early. I don't know what that says.
Was this football or golf training?
This was football.
Right. So
and
it's clarifying.
Apparently, he has said he does want this move to happen now. So it looks as though it's going to happen, guys. And after Aubameyang and Grealish signing their new deals yesterday, I think Tottenham fans are feeling quite optimistic.
A bit left out.
They want it to happen now. And it's looking like it's close. And Rob Wilkinson has emailed show@footballramble.com. That is a new email address. Make sure you jot that one down. show@footballramble.com. He says, I'm a Spurs fan. Please, guys, tell me this is happening. Don't end my Gareth Bale dreams. It just can't get any better than this. It can't. And of course, Tottenham is where he made a name for himself. So to have him back there, it is kind of the dream scenario, isn't it?
When Rob says it can't get any better than this, does he mean the actual reality of it will still be losing 1-0 at home to West Brom and Bale trudging about thinking, oh, well, at least we gave it a go.
Do you reckon he means things can't get much worse, so please bring us Gareth Bale?
Well, he's referring to David Moyes, isn't he, when he was at Sunderland. Trying to temper expectations after like another terrible performance, just saying in the post-match interview, it can't get any better than this. It just can't. any excuse to bring that up is appreciated if you ask me. But I think like this has become such a... Gareth Bale and football in general have become a little saga, haven't they? Because it's, as we've touched on so many times, it's just ridiculous that a player of that quality is in a situation where he's not really playing. Mm. And it seems like he's got sick of this himself now, from what we're hearing. So Madrid have kind of almost cancelled him, haven't they? They've just decided he doesn't exist and they just want to get rid of him.
How has it taken this long for them to realise that they need to pay him to go?
Yeah.
That they need to pay some of his wages to go. I really don't understand that. I don't really understand why the China deal fell apart, because, I mean, obviously, pretty much like signing his last contract, they've regretted it every day since, I think. The interesting question to me is who needs who more at the moment? Mourinho/Tottenham needing Bale or Bale needing Tottenham, if you see what I mean.
I think that could actually become fairly symbiotic, couldn't it? I think it's a good deal for everyone involved. I mean, the talk is that it's more Daniel Levy that wants him than Mourinho, but you would think that Mourinho wouldn't say no. Do you know what I mean? I know he's very particular about how he does things, but a player of that quality, even at 31, especially, I mean, you would think, I know it doesn't always work like this, but you would think that Bale would have a bit more in the tank, having played so little. And he must be so frustrated by that as well. There's talk with the Euros coming up. Obviously, he wants to play and he wants to be in shape for Wales.
Do you think that was the moment where the penny dropped? The fact that in his game and a half that he played for Wales, because he turned up before that and he said, look, I'm fit, I'm ready to play. And then you play those and you realise, actually, I'm not. I'm really not there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That could well be the case, couldn't it? Because it sounds like he's actually pushed for it, whereas in the past he's been happy to just be stubborn and kind of call Real Madrid's bluff. But now it looks like he'll be there. And I feel like what a massive difference this would make to Spurs' window. They've had, you know, up to now, if it were to shut now, they'd have an okay million.
An okay window. Yeah, they haven't spent much money though.
No, they haven't.
28 million in total on three players. Joe Hart was obviously a free.
Yeah,
and Højbjerg and Doherty. They haven't spent a lot of money.
No, and they're all functional, good signings, but they're not particularly exciting, are they? But if you add Bale into that, you'd be delighted as a Spurs fan going back into that, because he could presumably reignite the team, right? And talk of Reguilón coming in as well.
Yeah, and I think. Oh, I guess we'll get to Reguilón in a minute, but with Bale, if you get to, I suppose, 80, 90% of what Bale can actually do, you're in business. One, because he's such a fantastic player, and two, for Tottenham's current needs, if you think back to that Andre Villas-Boas season, he does...
That's when he did his best, isn't it?
Yeah, and he does... See, people overlook the fact that AVB is the Bale whisperer. but any very, very throaty, gruff whisperer. Not an intentional whisperer. But I think the thing is, with Bale, it's easy to forget, because of where he's been and because of what he's done, he does kind of circumvent the need to play good football. A bit like prime Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I mean,
so much of that
AVB season with Bale was Gareth would just work it out at the end.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of feel that Tottenham are a little bit set up for that. I don't think it matters particularly if you've got very good Bale. I don't think anyone's quite expecting prime Bale, at least not at the beginning. The actual fluidity of your team, none of that matters.
Yeah.
Well, because he's so incredibly direct.
Mourinho's so good at getting the best out of those players as well, isn't he? Because, you know, if he recognises that you might need to be a bit stubborn against the team and spoil them and then nick something with the quality you've got, then, it's, you know, on his day, there's probably not a better manager in the world at doing that. So again, this suits everybody involved. And also, I think the narrative around Bale for years now has been that he is happy to take his money and that he's, you know, Wales, Gulf, Madrid, all that stuff. And that is funny, but it must be frustrating for Gareth Bale. But if he goes back to Spurs, he's at a place where he's absolutely loved. Mm. And that narrative just is irrelevant. It doesn't matter.
Does football become above Wales and Gulf if he moves to Spurs?
Yeah, well, I think it becomes Spurs, Wales, Gulf, doesn't it?
Can I just say that when you drive into the relatively new still Tottenham Hotspur training centre in Enfield, there is a large putting green at the front.
Is there? Mm.
Yeah, there is. I remember the first time
they saw it coming.
Well, I think really the natural step is to evolve it into a pitch and putt. Presumably that's the last box to tick in the negotiations. I mean, someone actually did say to me in jest, yeah, only Harry Kane's allowed on there, mate. But we'll see. That will change.
In reality...
Kane will be getting lessons.
Yeah, in reality, how do Tottenham make this deal work financially, Andy?
By Real Madrid paying most of it, I think is the answer. And whether it's a long loan or whether it's, a part exchange with Dele Alli has been mentioned.
That seems an odd one to me. Do you think there are any legs in that?
Well, I can't see why they want to get more wages on the books, Real Madrid. And I can't see where they're actually going to fit him, unless it's at a very advantageous rate to them. And really, clubs are going to have to work together in this current environment. And this is the interesting thing, I think, about the current situation in world football. Big clubs who aren't used to giving anything, who aren't used to being perceived to lose face, are going to have to give a lot in this environment. So all these weird deals, and even if we take out the Dele Alli element for a minute, Bale going back to Spurs is a weird deal.
Yeah,
because if you'd have asked someone even a fortnight ago, anyone sane, they'd say, well, it's just not possible. It's absolutely not possible.
I think Spurs did look at the possibility of paying for him through furlough, but they later rode back on that. Sorry, Andy, you were saying.
Well, you know, everyone's going to have to give a bit, even the biggest club. So I think there's a lot more of these deals that you think are completely impossible that could actually materialise over the next few weeks.
I think the exciting thing, and it's not just for Tottenham fans, for me, just as a football fan, as a Premier League fan, to have a player of Gareth Bale's quality back in the league, it's just so exciting.
There's something romantic about it.
I just want to see him play football again. Definitely. Because it's been such a long time, hasn't it?
I desperately want him to not be shit. That's really important.
I don't think he will be, though.
But I think that there has to be a bit of patience. There has to be a bit of patience. Think of why Real Madrid want to get rid of him. It's because he's never fit. It's because they thought he would come up to fill that vacuum when Cristiano Ronaldo went, and he was just never able to, often through no fault of his own. Obviously, quite a lot of that ire has been directed towards him, certainly by media in Madrid and certainly by the club, who reached a point where they were annoyed with themselves for paying him so much. They were annoyed with committing so much to him. But most of it's not been his fault. I just want him to be given a bit of time to get back into that spot where he can be really good again, and he can be that Gareth Bale that you're talking about.
It's amazing when you think about, you know, that move to Real Madrid all those years ago and just how it's fallen and how it all went so wrong for him.
Shakespearean, isn't it? Like the narrative of it. Like you really feel for him. I feel like if he does get this move back, as we touched on, especially back to Spurs, where, you know, he did make his name and he's so well regarded, it'll be such a weight off his shoulders to have this story around you that the whole time, and have the world have this idea of you that's effectively controlled by Real Madrid. Must be so, so frustrating. And like, I would like echo what you guys say. Like, I hope that the injuries haven't taken their toll, and that we see the best of him. I think there's something exciting about the idea of Kane and Bale playing together. Once the season gets underway and everyone's had a bit of time to to get up to speed. Because actually, maybe the weird circumstances of this season will suit Bale, because everybody's got to get up to speed. Most teams have been a little bit rusty, and I think, you know, he'll be able to get up to speed while everyone else does, hopefully.
I mean, there's the genuine question whether all of this season will be a bit weird and off kilter,
yeah,
because they've not had proper pre-seasons, isn't there? I mean, I think we have to face that possibility.
Yeah.
But at the time of recording this, the deal hasn't yet been completed. If it does complete by the end of play today or at some stage this week,
then that will be quite annoying because we'll have left the studio already.
But if it does, just what a huge boost this will be to Tottenham, because you'd probably say off the back of the first match week in the Premier League, they were one of the biggest losers in terms of performance, them and West Ham, you'd say, were the two teams that really disappointed and that let their fans down, because it wasn't the start to the season that Tottenham fans were hoping for. I know Everton were pretty good in that game, but that's not the point. That's not what Tottenham fans care about. They want to see their team play good football. And I think this Gareth Bale deal, if it does materialise in the next couple of days ahead of the next match week, that will just give them a little bit of stardust, a little bit of sparkle heading into match week two.
Yeah, and I think the prospect of beating Manchester United to the signing of Sergio Reguilón from Real Madrid is pretty big too. Because
how good is he?
Really good. He's just come off a great season at Sevilla, who would have liked to keep him and then quickly realised that they couldn't afford it. There's no real place for him at Madrid because you have Ferland Mendy, who's been excellent and is in a real battle for the number one spot at left back with Marcelo, who's still got a decent amount in the tank, I think is fair to say. So Reguilón is worth more to Madrid as collateral than he is having on the books at the moment. It seems that Tottenham have agreed to buybacks, etc., etc. Again, I think you have to be realistic in this current market and realise where they are. But I think in terms of what he can give to Tottenham, you've got that guy on the right hand side in Matt Doherty who can give you that bit of width and that who's adventurous. And now you've got the similar on the other side with Reguilón, because he's very quick, he's very athletic, he's very adventurous. And Ben Davies is a good defender. He sometimes contributes attack-wise, but that's not really his strong suit. I bet they're regretting giving almost a full episode of All or Nothing to him now, aren't they? Where he's got the little voiceover from Mourinho saying he's internationally experienced and how important he is. Maybe they could clip it up and, you know, it could be some sort of, you know, promotional video. This could be your new left back.
Yeah, well, look, it's a potentially exciting couple of days for Tottenham fans. Let's see what happens with those deals. One deal that we know has been done yesterday, Aubameyang. He has signed the ting, and Arsenal fans can breathe a sigh of relief. I mean, it was a saga that was ongoing. I was getting a little bit tired of having to see Mikel Arteta bat away the journalists and the reporters every time he had to be asked. And look, it's our job to ask those questions. We have to ask those questions. But every time he answered it, I was just like, come on, Aubameyang, just sign it. How are you feeling, Jim? You buzzing?
Just so happy and so relieved, because, you know, you always wonder, like, why is it taking so long? But perhaps it's an illustration of the fact that these deals are complicated, particularly in
these
times.
I have a theory.
Go on.
I reckon he had a long list, a long criteria that he needed Arsenal to agree with, almost as long as Wayne Lineker's criteria for his new wife, if anyone's seen that.
Oh, yeah. It's on his Instagram, isn't it? It's absolutely amazing.
It's horrifying.
I wonder if there's any crossover between that. So maybe Aubameyang wants somebody who can cook, preferably Waitrose ready meals.
Basically, can you switch an oven on? Can you use a microwave?
What were the other ones?
He needs someone with a defined bod, because he'll soon have one himself.
Yeah, 58. So, something like that, isn't it? So fair play to you, but we'll soon have that bod? It's a bit cheeky, that, isn't it?
Good to have aims. Good to have aims.
He wants a 30-year-old, but 29 or 28 will do.
Which actually sounds like someone trying to find a striker, doesn't it?
If someone is midway through doing something else and missed a little bit of that sentence, we've got to reiterate that these are Wayne Lineker's demands, not Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Yeah. That's important.
My favourite one was, you've got to know your geography. If you think Lincoln's in Wales, we're going to have a problem. Why? That's such a strange one to throw in.
Essential for wifey material. He ended this Instagram post, by the way, and do go and have a look at it yourself. Hashtag wifey, where you at?
Absolutely amazing. But anyway, back to Alba. I think it is an indication of how long big deals like this take to do in modern football? Because obviously, you know, a lot of clubs have been burned with big contracts, and I guess they've got to protect themselves. And it might even be that they've had to sell players before certain things can happen, and stuff's gone on behind the scenes. But I'm delighted with it, and I think what it shows is that Arsenal's most important asset at the moment is Mikel Arteta. He's done such a good job in convincing Aubameyang to stay, and that confidence he's had whenever he's spoken about it has been really reassuring, actually. And obviously, getting Willian, who he really, really wanted.
And how good was he in the first game? Three assists,
really, really
what
good.
A debut.
Just hit the ground running. It's really, really good to see. Also getting a new deal for Saka, and it, you know, there's this talk that funds are being raised to make a move for Thomas Partey that he really wants as well. And he's been promoted from head coach to manager now. So it's great. I actually feel really sort of secure with Arteta there, and feel a lot of faith in him, which is a really, really nice feeling. And, you know, he can build a team around Aubameyang now. And obviously, you know, again, he is 31, but it's this injury history thing that we keep coming back to that makes me feel like actually he's more likely to be a bit of a Vardy character than somebody who might drop off.
I agree. He's gently evolved his game as well, which the smartest players need to do, especially forward players when they're that age. So, you know, I think there's every chance that he could like maintain and maybe even increase his level going forward. I thought it was interesting, though. I'm interested to know what you thought, Jim, of, because we knew it was happening for ages, because Aubameyang himself put the little egg timer or emoji on Twitter. Was the production everything you're expecting? It was a pretty good cast list.
It was great. Yeah, clearly it was leading up to something, wasn't it? I mean, if that something had been, oh, actually, I've signed for someone else, it would have been like the biggest like heel turn in the history of football. But it was.
Did you see that Arsenal changed their bio on their Twitter page as well, saying if you're reading this, stick your notifications on.
It's been really, really well done. But yeah, the video had obviously Ian Wright and quotes from Dennis Bergkamp and Thierry Henry and Tony Adams, and it was like it's nice because he's saying what everyone wants to hear. So I want to become a club legend here, and like, you know,
do you think he will be?
If he stays for 3 years and maintains comparable levels within reasonable expectations, I think so. I mean, you see people say, oh, you've got to win a league title to become a club legend, but I don't think that's necessarily true. And the fact that he was so instrumental in Arsenal winning their post-Wenger silverware and then decided to stay when he could have gone to a lot of other places, possibly earn more money and, you know, possibly would be more likely to win things, I think that will endear him to people, and he's well on the way to that status, certainly in my heart.
Yeah.
So,
which rarely feels anything.
So, what about the little bit with Lacazette? I mean, I found that quite amusing because where they go, isn't it weird us speaking to each other in English? Yeah, it's really weird, them. Bro.
I love them both.
I enjoyed that. But what do you think this means for Lacazette? Because the interpretation of Aubameyang signing again in France is that they will try and sell Lacazette, especially as the window on them selling Bellerin to Paris Saint-Germain at least has closed because they've now got Alessandro Florenzi.
Yeah, well, I don't know, because Emi Martinez has gone to Aston Villa. That's reportedly £20 million. There's talk that Lucas Torreira will go to Torino for around £24
million. He's holding the shirt with great enthusiasm in the photos, isn't he, Emi Martinez?
It reminds me, as you pointed out earlier, Andy, of when Nicolas Anelka signed for West Brom and he looked like he'd just been sentenced to a prison term. Bless him. But yeah, I think in theory, you would think that if they're going to go for Aouar, Lacazette will be where that money comes from. So I would hate to lose Lacazette, but that is the reality of both COVID and Arsenal at the moment. So I think everyone's pretty resigned to the fact that unfortunately we're going to have to sell Aubameyang's best mate, unless that's in the contract. But nope.
That was one of his criteria. Stays.
Well, when they were planning their night out, which involved sparkling water and vegetables, I think you'd be wanting to get away from that, really, wouldn't it? Interestingly, on Aouar, he was sent off for Lyon last night, and of course there are a few people going, oh well, you know, it could be his last game for Lyon. Obviously a few more people on Twitter going, see, he likes red.
You only have to look at Aubameyang's numbers to understand just how vital he is to everything that Arsenal will want to do in terms of success going forward. 72 goals in 111 appearances in all competitions, 86 Premier League appearances, and 55 goals and 12 assists in those, and more recently FA Cup final goals, Community mm-hmm. Shield goals as well.
Flips.
Exactly.
He does everything.
He's got it all. And this could be a really good sign of things to come for Arsenal. I think when you look at the pundits' predictions, which we've all done our Football Ramble ones as well, I'm not going to lie, I didn't put Arsenal in my top four. Not many pundits put Arsenal in their top four. I think of across the board, the ones that have been publicly kind of out there, there's only two pundits that put Arsenal in their top four for this season that I've seen anyway. Wrighty's one of them. So I think this deal being complete and him signing a new 3-year contract at Arsenal has made a lot of people kind of question, and especially from their first performance as well against Fulham, that 3-0 victory, has made people think actually maybe Arsenal are a shout for the top four.
They are, but as was touched on, Fulham are not a good acid test, really, are they? So there will be tougher tests to come, and the squad needs to be settled yet, because chances are someone important will be lost as well. So
it's kind of because of where the transfer window is, it's very, very hard to get a handle on anyone.
Yeah.
Just yet, isn't it?
Completely, yeah. It might be significantly different squad by the time that window closes.
Yeah, it's still another 3 weeks or so, isn't there? October the 5th it closes. Yeah.
I'm the most confident I've been about a top four finish for Arsenal in a long time, though. I will say that. I think it's not unreasonable to think that they could do it.
All right, Jim's feeling confident. I wonder whether Aston Villa fans are feeling the same. We're going to talk about Jack Grealish signing his new deal at Aston Villa after this.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. So good news yesterday as well for Aston Villa fans. It was the news you were hoping would happen, and that deal for Jack Grealish, your captain, has finally been done. A new 5-year deal for the captain of the club, a boyhood fan of the club, a local lad as well. And unlike Aubameyang, who we've just talked about with his very professional, slick video and his announcement with all the club legends involved, Jack just did a 6-seconder. Yeah, I'm staying.
And two seconds of that was pause, wasn't it?
Yeah,
at the beginning. So it's like, you know, it's like I can imagine them going to him, right, Jack, think of how you're going to convey the gravity of this. And he's like, 2-second pause for gravity. I'm staying at Villa.
It was low key.
It was.
But do you know what? I quite liked it. Because sometimes they're all a bit over the top, these videos, aren't they? And this was, you know, this is the news that Aston Villa fans were desperate to hear. The deal was, it was kind of waiting to be done. At one stage, it looked like he was going to Manchester United. When Donny van der Beek signed, you kind of thought, well, maybe he's probably not going to go there now. But this will just please a lot of the Aston Villa fans, won't it?
Oh, I think they'd all, they'd just resign themselves to losing him. Mm. Like I think the, probably like 99% of Villa fans had assumed he would go either to Man United or to Spurs or somewhere else in the window. And they can't believe their luck. I mean, they were obviously delighted to stay up, but staring down the barrel of selling Grealish and having an even tougher season next year. And actually, suddenly, they'll be delighted with this window, were they not? Ollie Watkins is a really good signing, scored on his debut,
yeah.
And probably should have scored twice as well, but you know we'll let him off that. Emi Martinez as well we see he's a very, very good goalkeeper. I think they'll be delighted with this. Like
the pressure on Dean Smith is kind of no less though than it has been, even though he signed a new contract last season. I kind of felt it was a weird timing when he got the extension of that.
And Dean Smith,
yeah, but I think if you think of the unreasonable amount of pressure that was on Smith for a lot of last season, simply because of the amount that they've spent on transfers. I'm not saying you shouldn't spend on transfers to not put pressure on your coach so he can work with a clear mind or anything like that. But the fact is, there's going to be a lot on them all over again. They spent a lot on Ollie Watkins. They're spending a lot on Martinez. They've re-signed Grealish. What is a reasonable result now for them? Because
staying up.
Is that it still?
I think so.
I think people are going to expect more than that all of a sudden.
What do you think would be a reasonable finish for them based on those expectations?
I think staying up is reasonable.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking the way they've played it suggests that they're in it for a little more.
I think because
obviously
most,
no one's aiming to finish fourth bottom.
Yeah.
But most people wrote them off, though,
hadn't they, at the start of the season as one of the most likely three to go down. So I think if, of course, good signings, as you've both said, but I still think for Aston Villa fans, staying up, that'll be the main goal. And if they do that, I think they'll be more than happy. And maybe next season, that can be the season for maybe them to kick on if they do manage to survive.
Yeah. Absolutely, that's got to be the plan, isn't it? It's got to be a bit.
But they definitely look more likely, especially with Ollie Watkins and seeing them together on the pitch last night. You only have to look again at Jack Grealish's numbers. He was second last year in the league in terms of chances created to Kevin De Bruyne. It's ridiculous when you put him up in that list, and he obviously didn't have the right teammates around him. No offence to the strikers that Aston Villa had last year, but they obviously weren't good enough. There weren't enough attacking players. Unfortunately, John McGinn got injured early on in the season, so there wasn't enough around Jack Grealish to convert those chances. Now this season, I think they're looking like, I think they'll stay up now with the signings that they've made.
Yeah. Do you think getting into the England squad while at Villa, even in the weird circumstances that he managed it, will have made Grealish go, you know what, maybe I can achieve everything I want at Villa?
I simply think the window for him to go elsewhere is shut, and he's thinking, oh, I'm going to get paid. I think it's that simple.
I see the difference between you. Glass half full, glass half empty, Andy.
Some good grillism.
His glass,
love it.
His glass is more than half full. It's overflowing with money.
Look, I do think that Jack Grealish playing for England, this could be the sign of a new Jack Grealish that we might see, because he has been criticised in the last year, particularly for some of his behaviour off the pitch. And perhaps this is just maybe the start of his maturity as a player, because it's a big deal getting your England cap, isn't it? As a footballer. And you could see just how much it meant to him in his post-match interviews when he was wearing the England shirt and what that meant. And this could be the start of a more mature Jack Grealish that we're about to see.
Well, he started in quite a good way. I mean, he had a good day signing the contract and then putting in a really good display. I know it was against Burton, but still, it was a really good display. He scored that fantastic goal.
And that pass as well for the...
Neil Taylor didn't actually see it, did he? He didn't,
so good.
Like, he wasn't expecting the pass.
When you say no-look pass, you expect the player making the pass to not be looking at it, don't you?
It was brilliant, wasn't it? So a good performance for him last night. And again, it's when you talk about a confidence boost, like what maybe Gareth Bale signing for Tottenham could be for Spurs. This again, for the whole Aston Villa squad and all the fans, will just give them a bit of a lift, Jim.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's it's impressive that he hit the ground running so much as well. And an instant reminder of what he can bring. So he scored with a volley from the edge of the area, which is just always nice, isn't it? I'm actually personally really happy that he stayed there as well, because I think it's just nice to see that happen in modern football, isn't it? Someone who's got such an association with the club.
Yeah, it's refreshing, isn't it, actually? Yeah.
To have a spread of good players across the Premier League rather than all be hoarded.
Oh, absolutely, as well. That's starting to get exhausting, isn't it?
Like you say, it is quite refreshing to see a player like him who... Everyone talks up, don't they? And, oh, he could move to a bigger club. He could be playing in the Champions League. He should be playing at the absolute peak of football at the highest level. I think quite refreshing to see that he's decided to stay at the club that he supports and that he's captain for. But there will be, on the other side of the coin, other people who say, is it a lack of ambition?
Well, I don't know about that, but I think it's the only move he could make at the moment. I would just say, I wonder what... Wilfried Zaha would say about signing such an expensive, such a long deal, because he got a very short way into that, his new deal, Zaha, didn't he? When he thought, yeah, I really want to play somewhere else, but he's priced himself out of the market. I mean, is Grealish backing himself into that Zaha corner where he's more valuable to Villa than he is to anyone else, so he can kind of never leave?
Well, if he keeps posting numbers like that, you would think people would come back in for him. He's 25 rather, and his deal runs till 2025, doesn't it? So
a bit too young for Wayne Lineker.
Oh, God.
I don't want to think about where that ends.
With Jack Grealish pushed in a swimming pool.
Sorry, that's really thrown me.
I'm so sorry.
Thrown me into the pool there. But you would think there's probably another three seasons, maybe, where Grealish could potentially get a move. And obviously, with each year that runs down on the contract, that he becomes more affordable. So I think it's not impossible that he will still get a big move later.
And it's right what you say about the numbers as well. I mean, that's the difference, isn't it, between, say, Grealish and Zaha. I accept a different players. Because, as you say, the numbers for a team... at that level as well, they're pretty incredible.
Yeah, good times for Aston Villa fans. And we already talked about them getting through to the next round of the EFL Cup. They beat Burton last night 3-1. A couple of other results from last night to touch on. What a game, Bournemouth Crystal Palace. I mean, this
Do you mean what a game, or do you mean what a penalty shootout?
Yeah, but this is what we love the Carabao Cup for. Results like this. 11-10 on penalties.
Yeah.
That's what saw Bournemouth through to the next round. This was incredible. Goalkeepers taking penalties. Goalkeepers missing penalties. It's what the League Cup's about, Andy.
All of a sudden, I feel so much better about Wimbledon going out of it on penalties, since you ask.
Wayne Hennessy, if anyone hasn't seen it, please watch his penalty. He basically stood at the penalty spot, and it's almost as if he forgot he was in a penalty shootout and thought he was taking a goal kick, because it went so far over. It was terrible. Absolutely awful. But
I think when you're at the Vitality, you think, I've actually got a decent chance of booting it out of this stadium. I mean, it's not happening at Tottenham, is it?
No.
But, you know, Vitality, maybe.
Not a bad start for Jason Tindall, though. I know it's only been a couple of games, but, you know, they're through to the next round of the EFL Cup. They won their first match in the Championship at the weekend as well. What do you reckon of his start at Bournemouth, Jim?
Well, I mean, it's ideal, isn't it? I think that's the...
Especially after losing a lot of players.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing that they have is that consistency, isn't it? It is just somebody shuffling into possibly a different desk in the same office. And there's a danger, obviously, that it goes stale and it falls apart. But clearly, there's some consistency there. And from the players that he's got left, he's managed to keep them united in the same way and keep the core belief in that squad. So I'm delighted for them, because you do worry, don't you, when a team goes down in quite heartbreaking circumstances and then loses such a talisman as Eddie Howe, that it might all start to unravel. So they've managed to kind of, you know, stick a pin in that at least.
Yeah, and West Ham also through to the next round of the League Cup after they beat Charlton by 3-0. Your man Allaire got a couple of goals, Andy, and you've been, last season we talked about him quite a bit on Football Ramble, and you were saying that we've not seen the best of him. Do you think this is his season?
I hope so, and they need it to be, because they spent a lot of money on him, and I think this has been the whole issue with West Ham, isn't it? The fact that they've bought in these quite valuable assets, or they've spent a lot of money on them at least, and they've just diminished in value since they've been there.
Very specifically centre forwards as well. It's such an unusual situation. It must be maddening as a West Ham fan to sort of get a new striker in who looks like they might be pretty good, and then for them to drop off after like a month or so, and then just, you know, just become bang average for a bit. I sort of
He looked really isolated, I thought, for a lot of last season. So they've got to figure out a way of getting the right players around him. I mean, there's enough quality in the squad that they should be so much better than they are. Be interesting to see what happens to Charlton as well. They're still waiting for that Danish takeover to happen, aren't they? Lee Bowyer says he's got 3 or 4 signings lined up that he's ready to action the minute he gets the go-ahead. So hopefully better times for Charlton.
All right, let's round things up in Europe then, because quite a bit's been going on, Andy. Torrid Benfica, Jude Bellingham and Sancho both doing bits in the Bundesliga as well. Tell us what's been happening.
Benfica, well... You think it's, what, 24 days since the Champions League final? They're already out this season.
That's so annoying.
Having spent 82 million on transfers and goodness knows what on wages. Jorge Jesus, who they spent a lot to bring back from Flamengo as well, his first game back in charge. And they lose at PAOK. Of course, they're one-off games at the moment because of COVID, the qualifiers. And they go out of the Champions League. Him having said beforehand that, you know, this is a huge part of my Benfica project, us doing well in Europe. I couldn't do it in the Champions League before. They get the signings in the squad. Jan Vertonghen, one of them, scores an own goal.
Oh, no.
And the winner is scored by Andrija Živković for PAOK, who Benfica paid to leave... What, 9 days ago?
Wow.
That is... It's unbelievable, isn't
it? It's pretty spectacular. And Jorge Jesus said in the press conference afterwards, you know, I can still really imagine that we would have done really well in the Champions League.
Well, you're going to have to, aren't you?
That's a really interesting sum up of what is a quite humbling defeat. But like 80 million is a lot to spend in any transfer window. It's a lot to spend in any transfer window for a Portuguese club.
God, yeah.
But in this environment,
yeah.
I mean, they... already were obliged to win the league, and now there are already people out there saying, well, maybe he hasn't got it as a club coach anymore, maybe we should fire him. It's like, hang on.
Yeah,
you bet the farm on him coming back from Flamengo, where he did a brilliant job and one game in. And having said that, while he was really going through it on the touchline, you did get him running his hands through his lustrous hair in anguish quite a lot. I mean, it's like the old days before Speller had a trim, really.
Is it the curse of Bela Gutmann? Now, this is a thing that hangs over Benfica, isn't it? For those that aren't aware of it.
You think it's always the curse, don't you?
Well, I do. I'm just fascinated by this story. So he, you know, Gutmann, he won the European Cup for them in 1962, didn't he? And then he wanted a pay rise, I think.
Yeah, and didn't get it.
He didn't get it, so he quit. And he said something like, not in 100 years from now will Benfica ever be European champions again. And they've been to so many finals since, and they haven't won it. And if anyone's wondering, obviously that will be broken in 2062. So there's a little bit more of this to come, potentially, if curses are real. Maybe only this one is. Who knows?
This curse is definitely real.
It certainly seems to be, doesn't it? It's working.
All right, staying in Europe, let's talk about the Bundesliga, or actually just in Germany, really. Dortmund beating Duisburg 5-0 in the German Cup, Andy. Jude Bellingham scored on his debut for the club. A glorious assist as well from Thorgan Hazard.
Yeah, youngest scorer in Borussia Dortmund history, which is, what, 111 years, which is pretty amazing. It's 17 years and 77 days, beating the previous record of Nuri Sahin by just 5 days. But it wasn't really just about the goal, even though the goal was beautifully put together, as you said, Jules. He was fantastic. Playing box to box for, you know, a team that's expected to do stuff in the Bundesliga in Europe this season. Thorgan Hazard himself afterwards said, he played like a man. I can't put it any other way. He's not a kid. And I think what's really interesting is when we wind forward to the start of the Bundesliga this weekend, whether Bellingham will start, because I don't think there was really a massive expectation that he would start the first Bundesliga game. But he's now put it in the head of Lucien Favre, the coach.
I think the
way he reads the game, the way he passes the ball, the way he gets stuck in, all of it. I mean, it's very difficult to believe that he's 17.
They've
he's,
already retired the number 22 at the club because they were so impressed with his debut.
And because he could have walked away for very little and he earned them an absolute fortune that they really needed.
They've gone there.
Right.
What about Jadon Sancho as well? Because he scored from the spot. He opened the scoring in the game.
It seems like an old man.
We talk about young Jude Bellingham, young Jadon Sancho, sort of. Will he still be at Dortmund by the end of this window?
I think he might be. And I think going back a month and a half, I would have said definitely no. I mean, I can't really understand the way that Manchester United are approaching this. It should be the easiest deal ever because Sancho's open to coming. They know what the price is. Just pay it. Like, there's no argument about the current environment or whatever. Mm. You know, Dortmund aren't in a position where they have to sell him, and they're asking for what is a reasonable price for what he is.
Yeah.
So, Andy, do you think... You know, looking around that squad, especially, I mean, obviously we're making big assumptions about Bellingham kicking on to be a really good, consistent player for them this season. But if you look at, you know, players like Thorgan Hazard, who people don't talk about as much as some of the other big names at Dortmund, who's a fantastic player, the absolute, you know, nightmare that is Erling Braut Haaland in terms of playing against him.
He looked really pissed off when he got dragged off, by the way.
Yeah.
I love his attitude, though.
Every time he doesn't score, he takes it as such a personal affront. Yeah.
Which is brilliant. Isn't it? That's what you want. But
yeah, it is.
That is a hell of a squad. Obviously, they're up against Bayern, who, you know, arguably the best team in Europe. Do you think they've got a chance, any chance of winning the Bundesliga this season? Because that looks an incredible team to me.
Yeah,
but they've got to overhaul a monster.
Yeah, and you're right, Jim. They haven't built a team to not do stuff now because everyone focuses on the young players. But actually, when you sign Hummels and Witzel and Emre Can's
plural
and Thomas Meunier, it's to win stuff. Now,
yeah.
It's not to win stuff in a while. So I think how they get on and how much they can really give Bayern a fight, I think really matters. I've just begun to think with Uli Hoeneß and his being crazy in public, which we'll talk about a bit more on OTC tomorrow. I've begun to wonder, after all these years, is Uli Hoeneß actually in the pay of Borussia Dortmund? It's a possibility.
Yeah, it could well be.
Because, I mean, that's the only way it's going to fall apart for Bayern.
Well, look, as you say, Andy, more on this and more stuff from the Bundesliga. You're going to be previewing the Bundesliga season and Serie A as well on the continent tomorrow. That's you, Andy, with Dotun Adebayo on Football Ramble Presents. So make sure you look out for that on wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also tomorrow, Marcus, Jim, you're back tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And Pete and Marcus, Jim aren't the same person. Marcus and Jim and Pete, the three of you guys are going to be here tomorrow for another Football Ramble. Oh, it's been so nice to be back, guys.
Hooray!
Thanks for having me back. I thought I was going to be cast out.
Thanks for coming back.
It's good to be back. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble. We'll see you next time.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This season, prepare for every season with the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. These shoes were made for adventures in rain, shine, mist, or snow. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
and Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman, I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.